Welcome to Fuller Butts, a behind-the-scenes plastic surgery podcast. Yes, you heard that right. Join your co-hosts, Dr. Sam Fuller and Dr. Dan Butts, board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeons, on an exclusive full-access pass into the world of plastic surgery. Combining their expertise and training, Drs. Fuller and Butts will share medical insights, detailed explanations, and lighthearted humor to keep you entertained and informed. We're certain you'll become passionate about the plastic surgery specialty, and between debunking myths, uncovering truths, or just making you laugh out loud at their perspective on this creative and artistic field, we've got something for everyone. From tummy tucks to Botox and mommy makeovers to surgery do-overs, the Fuller Butts podcast will surely satisfy your podcast fix. All right, now let's dive into this episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fuller Butts, a behind-the-scenes look at plastic surgery. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Sam Fuller, and with me here is...
Dr. Daniel Butts. Welcome back. Good to be back.
We're excited this week to talk to you guys about tummy tucks, drainless, angleless, and removal.
Yes, I love tummy tucks. One of my favorite surgeries. Never say painless, though. Less painful than they used to be.
That's why I left the pause, because I wanted to be hard. What are you going to say?
My body twitch.
So, you know, there's been really a growth in tummy tuck and just body contouring in general. I think just with skinny shots of Ozempic, patients now have multiple different roadways and paths to their weight loss that's safe and that's lasting. And so before, years ago, when patients were coming in for a tummy tuck, if they weren't a good candidate, would say, hey, you have to, you know, lose more weight to decrease the risks of infection, of wound healing, of, you know, problematic scarring and that sort of thing. But I was leaving them really unarmed and going about their way. Maybe they would get a gastric bypass. And now, you know, if you go to any strip mall or any place else, there seems to be some sort of weight loss center or someplace that is offering patients an opportunity to lose weight.
Do you have a BMI limit?
I do. So my BMI's limit is roughly 32. Which, you know, I would say some of the other plastic surgeons that I've surveyed, you know, maybe as high as 35. But I really want to see patients stable at their goal weight or close within 10 to 15 pounds of that weight. And with the BMI less than 32, to me, I feel it's a safe undertaking to undergo. What about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there. I used to do 35 and see a lot of patients as we're not good candidates, need to lose more weight. 32, still some, you know, could benefit for losing more weight, but still often see very safe candidates.
Who else would you say is not a good candidate? Is there any other physical anatomy?
You know, a lot of it's where they carry the weight, right? I mean, if it's all that visceral fat, that can really limit how flat you can get the muscle repair. You know, so if it's really a lot of loose skin, muscle flat, but they kind of carry it more in the legs, it's less of an impact on the tummy tuck results. So, you know, there are a lot of variables, even at, you know, 32 isn't the perfect number, 28, 26, probably better for a lot of patients, but you still get really nice results at 32 and safe. Again, a lot of it's safety, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, we're tossing around the term tummy tuck, but what is a tummy tuck? Like when somebody walks in and say, want a tummy tuck, what are you telling them that is?
Yeah, so I mean, the main goal is to remove a lot of that loose lower abdominal skin, typically, you know, everything below the belly button to about 6 centimeters, kind of in the Mons area. And there's minis, there's normal or fulls, and then extended torsoplasties. So there are a lot of different versions of tummy tucks, but really trying to enhance or improve the abdominal contours with skin removal, fat removal, and muscle repair.
Yeah, so I tell them that it's a three-step surgery. We get liposuction, typically of the flanks, some of the lateral central abdomen. It's a dissection up where we can evaluate and repair their muscles, oftentimes with weight gain and loss, with pregnancies, C-sections, that muscle repair is almost as important as the redundancy of the skin and certain select patients. And then lastly, I tell them that we sit them up, and then that fanny pack of loose skin that everybody seemingly has and nobody wants is then removed. And, you know,
fanny pack, the skin, that's good.
Yeah, like the fanny pack, it just makes sense. And take that fanny pack away, and then we close it up. You know, we jokingly said, you know, as far as it being painless, I use Exparel, which is a long acting numbing medicine that's injected into the abdominal wall to really reduce pain afterwards, which has been a game changer. What are some steps that you take to decrease pain for your patients, or what do you tell them they should expect from pain after a tummy tuck?
Yeah, I mean, Exparel is a game changer. We use the ultrasound guided, you know, tap locks or transverse abdominis plain tap locks, and truly it's the nerve block agent in the right area. But you know, even with that, it doesn't capture the entire area we're working on. So I tell most patients are probably going to be on some sort of narcotic for anywhere between 2 and maybe 4 days. I've had plenty of patients who come in and just take one of those. They're probably more of the exception than the rule, though. Well, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, my goal is for my patients to be on over-the-counter pain meds within 2 to 3 days. And so say, you know, now is not the time to be a hero, but with the numbing medicine that's in the liposuction fluid, that's the Exparel that's injected, with the way that you handle tissues, and with their compression garments and binders, you know, taking some pain meds for the 24 hours or so is expected. But Tylenol and ibuprofen, I think, work great. They're wonderful for this type of pain, and they last longer than what the narcotic pain meds are given. And I would say that there is a large percent that when I'm calling them on the next day, checking in on them, they're saying, hey, I'm feeling really good. And you know, I may have had that was a 6-hour case because we did a breast reduction at the same time. And I feel like my back is hurting, or I'm complaining more than the patient is. So that's really what the goal is. But everyone's pain threshold is different. You try to set the expectations. I try to get them started on a stool softener early to combat constipation, give them some tips and tricks as far as holding a pillow for coughing, you know, maintaining a binder or compression garments. But yeah, I do not guarantee painless tummy tucks. That is not a thing, but we want to make it comfortable. And I do think that just the excitement of looking down and knowing that they did something for themselves, that they're looking down and seeing that fanny pack is gone, I think it helps for pain control. They just get more excited. I think it's way different than if you were having a surgery for, you know, something else, something that was wrong with their bodies. It's something where they feel good, they're excited, and usually they're out of our surgery center an hour or two later and, you know, home resting and feeling great.
Yep. Yeah. It's a pretty dramatic surgery in terms of results. I mean, I always show patients a lot of photos before during the consultation process to give them an idea what they can expect. And like in terms of transformation, those are probably some of the biggest ones that we can really achieve.
Dr. Butts, when will I achieve my final result after my tummy tuck?
Very good question. I tell patients that normally things look pretty good in terms of like you can go, you know, wear a swimsuit, bikini, ideally, if you want to, probably as early as, you know, maybe 8 weeks, still very swollen, but looking pretty good. Final results will probably are in the 6 to 9, maybe even up to 12 months, with subtle stuff. Scar maturation probably takes a full 2 years. But it's all pretty slow, kind of stepwise process. You know, the first, you know, 6 to 8 weeks is the bulk of it.
Yeah, I think biologically our bodies are healing early on. It's like running a marathon. There's extra swelling. There's inflammatory cells that are there. They're swollen. They're puffy. We know biologically it takes 3 to 8 weeks for that initial period of healing to go down. Starting at 8 weeks is a remodeling phase that can last 6 to 8 months. So I usually tell patients it's, you know, 6 to 8 months until you're getting close to that finished product. It'll plateau and, you know, improve up to the 1 year mark, and then scars will continue to fade away over time. But I think it's a combination of their bodies healing, but also them getting back into their normal routine. I mean, some of our patients are active. They work out, they, you know, diet, exercise, do all these things. And, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm telling them that they can't do all of those things, that they're limited, you know, with no lifting over 10 pounds, you know, short walks are okay, leisurely, you know, up to 2 miles, but really don't want them to be overactive and shocking their bodies while they're healing. So I do feel like that takes some time to kind of get back to their baseline. And so that's part of the delay too, where, you know, they may not feel as fit at 8 weeks, you know, in a bathing suit. And, you know, some of that's for me and some of that's just the body needing to get back to their baseline.
Yeah, for sure.
So Dan, let me just toss this over to you, because I was not a believer until you forced me to do it. And
I didn't force you. I just told you how amazing it was.
So for a while, Dr. Butts was just singing praises of his own dreamless tummy tucks that he was doing in Milwaukee. One of the only, if not the only, dreamless tummy tuck surgeon in the Wisconsin state. I initially was reluctant, skeptical, although we had both trained together in Chicago and seen them done, so I knew it was feasible. I was just wanting to make sure that that was the right step for my practice, and then push forward.
Did you see them done in training?
Oh yeah.
With who?
Gutowski.
I never worked with them.
Oh,
I never saw one. It was more just talking to colleagues that did them elsewhere and reading up. And the technique is pretty straightforward.
Two great guys, Dr. Warner and Dr. Gutowski. I think they wrote a paper on it together.
Yeah, they wrote a paper on it.
They used a barb stitch. And so we would do it with an L and starting at the midline and then go across and lateral to that. And so I saw that done. But in speaking with you, you had a slightly different technique that really made sense to me and, how I saw and envisioned the dreamless tummy tuck to go. So I jumped on board and I haven't looked back. It's been an amazing, huge boost to my practice. I'm not sure of anyone close to me who does dreamless tummy tucks. And so not only just separating yourself, I don't think it's gimmicky. I think it's real. I think it's safe. It's an amazing.
Would you say your patients have an easier recovery without the drains? I mean, I think that's probably the biggest, Expiral helps, but not having drains is, that's a huge shift in my, patients came in at 1-3 weeks or 2 weeks.
I can say without a doubt that the level of discomfort, pain, irritation, aggravation has gone down without one or two drains coming out of their belly. It gets tugged down, we get phone calls, it's painful, it's irritated. And then I'm just not seeing, I feel like I'm not seeing as much swelling either afterwards. I feel like their bodies are getting into line quicker with the drainless technique. And so I know that their eyes light up at the consultation and the pre-op saying, hey, we can probably do this without a drain, or they're being referred from somebody who had a drainless tummy tuck asking if they can also have a drainless tummy tuck. So it's an amazing feature of our practices.
Yeah, I think, the data supports this. The big thing we used drains for was to prevent the risk of seromas or fluid collections. But if you compare those side by side, drainless actually has a lower risk of the seromas, which I've definitely seen. And if you do run into one, normally they're quite small because of the fact these all these sutures we put in kind of create smaller spaces. And, one aspiration, they're gone. Compared to sometimes you take a drain out at 3 weeks and you have this chronic seroma that's, kind of constantly coming back.
I had a patient last week who, asked a great question. She was like, how can you do a tummy tuck without drains? Like, how do you do it? And, what I essentially just described is that, you remove that fanny pack, that extra skin and fat, there's space that's there, but as you close and the abdomen, you're closing in multiple layers. And if you can obliterate that space, so there's no empty space that's there by sewing the top portion of the belly, that skin and fat that's below there, to the bottom and to the abdominal wall, you're really getting rid of any space that's potentially there, so that the fluid can't really build up if it wanted to. And I just informed them that our bodies are attuned with that. We have kidneys, we have filters that they flush it out. And if our body, for whatever fluid we have, it can maintain and control that, then it's not going to leak through the skin. And so I've not had any breakdowns. There has been here and there a couple of aspirations where you take a little bit of fluid off just for pressure. But I would say that that's extremely uncommon, but that's something that I inform patients about before surgery for a drainless tummy tuck. And so it's been awesome.
I would like to say, drains are obviously bad. I think obviously the end result's the most important thing. There's a lot of great surgeons that still use drains and want to look at the result, make sure that's not, just choosing it for the drainless. But in our practices, it's been really, I think, beneficial for the patients, which is the big thing, and, less and fewer seromas and issues, and you know, then the drains, these little drain sites that kind of get irritated. So yeah, they're not fun. No one likes them.
And before my loyal patients just blow up my Instagram saying, why did I have drain? I will say that there are some situations where I still use the drain. So there are still some, you know, indications for me. Recently had somebody who lost over 100 pounds, ended up doing, and I would say whether I'm doing a torsoplasty or an incision all the way around 360 degrees around the back and belly, or doing what's called a fleur-de-lis, so you have a transverse or side-to-side incision as well as an up-and-down incision going up the belly where the belly button is. Although I place internal sutures, which is what helps us obliterate that space and the opportunity to do a drainless, I still oftentimes place a drain that's there just because I don't feel that I can completely eliminate all the fluid buildup that's there, or all the space that's there, or I'm using a higher volume of tumescent fluid where I feel like there's just a lot of fluid left behind. And I'm usually taking it out at the first visit, and it, you know, may or may not have put out very much fluid, but to me, I'd rather have that than worry about any potential healing or issues. So I'm not married to it till death do our part, but I definitely utilize it as much as I can. I don't know if you have any thoughts about drains for those types of procedures.
Yeah, I mean, I tell everyone that, like, there's always a chance I might put one in if some people just have a little bit more fluid around that maybe don't like. It's probably less than 1% for a standard tummy. Well, standard tummy, like tummy, it's probably less, you know, than probably zero essentially. But yeah, those the bigger weight, massive weight loss, torsoplasties, fleur-de-lis. I think a lot of this do it, you know, you can only rip solar skin. There's more a lot of laxity kind of in the upper back area. There's still stuff moving around. There's more friction in those situations. I think they can still be helpful to really just minimize any chance of issues.
I've partnered with some local lymphatic massage therapists too. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that. To me, it's not required where I'm mandating that they do that, but because it's become so commonly asked of me, I do have resources to go. And I would say, hey, if you're concerned about that or concerned about fluid and you want to maximize everything that you can do for your body, a lymphatic massage can be helpful. And you know, just see where they go. I would say it's kind of a flip of a coin. I would say, 50-50 or maybe a little bit higher percent actually follow through with the lymphatic massage. But that's something I'm discussing too pre-op.
Yeah, a lot of patients are asking about it, and I'm kind of, you know, in some sort of things, you know, I also encourage everyone to do it. I'm kind of more of a, you know, maybe things look a little bit better a little earlier, but long term probably doesn't change results too much. For some really big lipo cases, especially if you're using Renuvian, sometimes I will encourage it. Sometimes they tend to retain fluid a little bit more inflammation. But tummy tucks, I really don't want them pushing on things for at least the first, you know, 7 to 10 days. So I don't want them doing anything in that period to tell them.
It usually starts 2 to 3 weeks out if they're going to do that. And I would say that the patients...
Some people with drains, though, they started right away to kind of try to push it into the drains. I don't want that without the drains.
I don't want that either. Yeah, so me, it's like a couple weeks later. And really what I mentioned before, you know, 3 to 8 weeks is when there's peak swelling and healing afterwards. Yeah. So it's really when you're getting into that 2 to 3 week mark where the tissues are just getting dense and heavier. I've just had a lot of feedback positively from patients who said that was great. I felt much.
Some people love it. Yeah. I mean, I think it could help. It's just there's kind of variable data. So it's not everyone needs it. Have you had patients describe like functional benefits from the tummy tucks besides things just looking better?
Yeah. And so, you know, as part of my consultation with them, I just let them know that, you know, lower back pain can improve, is not a guarantee. But anytime that you're improving your core strength, your ability to do planks, to do abdominal exercises, just to have that core there that was gone is huge. And some patients actually feel like some GU issues actually improve afterwards. So there's tons of functional benefits. I've had several patients who are fitness fanatics and just feel like they have no central core strength from C-sections, from pregnancies, and you know, have that skin redundancy, so it's removed as well. But there is singing praises as far as how well they can work out and lift and feel strength, and other patients with urinary issues have improved just because of the bladder pressures and the intradominal pressure you're restored with, because you can actually bear against the contents that are within you. And, I'm certainly not offering magic pixie dust or snake oil, but these are proven improvements. How do you go about discussing these possibilities with patients?
Yeah, and I think it's probably an under-discussed benefit in a lot of ways. So I think it's important to be aware, every patient during the consult, I talk about it, on the exam, I feel for their muscle separation. And like you said, if you have a true structural issue with them, compressed nerve or something like that, it's not going to fix that. But having those core muscles disrupted, that weakens the lower back, the pressure issues, like you mentioned. Yeah, I mean, I've had patients with chronic constipation issues that basically fix, hip pain, all sorts of stuff. It's pretty incredible besides just what we normally talk about, lower back pain and urinary incontinence. So it's very powerful surgery in multiple kind of ways.
So Dr. Bose, that means my tummy tuck will be covered under my insurance then?
Insurance will not cover your tummy tuck.
What additional procedures do you like doing at the same time as a tummy tuck? And maybe one or two that you him and ha or don't feel is a good combo procedure.
Yeah. We routinely combine, what we call 360 lipo or circumferential lipo to, like you mentioned, with just a standard tummy tuck, we often do liposuction of the flanks or kind of sides. And I do some centrally for contouring. So 360 circumference, we kind of address the upper and lower back as well, if we kind of sculpture the entire torso. So that's a common thing we add. And then obviously breast surgeries, breast lifts, reductions, dog pexies are very easy, and kind of, then you bulk in one recovery for all this instead of two recoveries, and can be very safely done in less than, 5 hours typically. I don't like doing thigh lifts with tummy tucks. I think they're kind of pulling on each other a little bit. But that's probably the one thing I don't really like to do with it.
Yeah, I would say the combo breast surgery and tummy tuck is a home run. I always say that the recovery is essentially the same. You don't want to have FOMO or fear of missing out, where you're looking at your nice tight belly and then you're kind of wishing the top matched the bottom. And so to me, that's a pretty easy decision. Doing anything anywhere else, I think it just makes it harder. So yeah, I agree. Thighplasties to me is kind of their standalone procedure done, with other adjuncts. One thing that I think is trendy that you and I both do is fat transfer. And so while I'm not doing super high volume Brazilian butt lifts, if there is a hip dip or if there's an indentation on the lateral butt area, thigh area that looks unpleasing or is problematic for the patients, if we're doing liposuction, we're taking the fat out. Sometimes the patients are asking, or sometimes I'm bringing it up during the exam, like, hey, I'm seeing this is what it looks like. And some patients, it doesn't bother them. Other patients are like, oh wow, you can fill that in, that would be amazing. So I don't want to counteract the ability that you need to lay on her back after a tummy tuck and rehab by injecting a bunch of fat on their butt. But if there's a little bit of fat that can be transferred and placed into the lateral area, that's not going to be overly compressed with the post-op protocols and requirements after a tummy tuck. To me, that's just another, and I think a trendier or a more common procedure being done.
Yeah. I think, like you're saying, smaller volumes and more lateral, I think is key. So yeah, you don't want to do a traditional BBL and you can't really sit on it. So my focus on tummy tuck is make sure that heals properly. We don't want to be compromising things with that. That's a nice little add-on as well. Cool. That's a lot of great tummy tuck stuff. What else? Any other quick thoughts? Future topics?
What topic you want to talk about next week?
I don't know. We have a list.
you
want to talk about hands? You do a lot of hand surgery.
We can do hand, but I'm feel like you're just going to be a spectator.
I remember some of that stuff. I can.
Yeah. You want me to do put you on a hot seat and just quiz you?
Well, no, don't do that.
Okay. Do you want to jump back to how about breast lift and breast augmentation?
Who needs a breast lift?
Yeah, and I think, we can kind of talk a little bit more about internal bras during that podcast as well, as far as breast lifts with and without augmentation. I think that's a huge topic, because oftentimes patients are coming in wanting just an augmentation and not realizing that they need a lift to achieve their goals. Or some patients are equally satisfied and happy by being able to just pull things tighter, get them as a reset against gravity as we get the girls back to where they're supposed to be, and we can even avoid the implant altogether. So I think that's a great topic, and I can hit home with. So
we'll leave awesome. Well, great chatting again. We'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
All right.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Fuller Butts, a behind-the-scenes plastic surgery podcast. Doctors Fuller and Butts are so appreciative of your time and attention. We invite you to subscribe, share, and continue to enjoy our plastic surgery perspective. Feel free to reach out on Instagram at either sfullersurgerymd or at danielbuttsmd, that's Butts with a Z, for comments, suggestions, and support. Remember, be artsy, stay scientific, and make life fun. We hope you'll join us again on the next episode of Fuller Butts.